Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, it is hour number two of a scheduled three. Good to have you with us on a Saturday morning right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan and the radio.com app. Of course, you can also listen through the website at thefandc.com along with Tom Lavero, who you can follow at Tom Lavero, and as well read in the Washington Times, washingtontimes.com. I'm Chris Russell, and Jim Jester on the other side of the glass. We're again with you until noon. At that point, Nats insider Dan Coco standing by, and he'll take you until 1 o'clock after a tough loss for the Nationals. But Tommy, we wanted to get into this because this is, you know, the most polarizing story, if you will, over the last 24 hours. As probably people know by now, Tyreek Hill was not suspended by the NFL. He's eligible to practice. He's eligible to play. He is not going to jail for anything, not saying that he should. He's 25 years old. He's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. He is, again, not going to be suspended, not any kind of
anything.
Zero. Nothing. The NFL, I want to read this to you, and for those that haven't read it, and I want you to tell me your gut reaction to this. Quote, based on the evidence presently available, which I think is a key, the NFL cannot conclude that Mr. Hill violated the personal conduct policy. Accordingly, he may attend Kansas City's training camp, participate in all club activities. He has been and will continue to be subject to conditions set forth by the district court, Commissioner Roger Goodell, and the Chiefs, which include clinical evaluation and therapeutic intervention. And again, I think the key part of that is the evidence presently available. And we've been down this road, Tommy, and I understand the NFL does not have the authority, if you will, to do everything. But I can't shake it. I don't know about you. I can't shake the fact that TMZ is going to come up with something, or somebody's going to come up with something somewhere that hasn't already been revealed in the next week, and we're going to be right back in this zoo to begin with.
Listen, they have an audio recording that has him threatening her.
Right.
There's no doubt about that.
Yes, correct.
He has him threatening her. That alone
should,
based on his history, should warrant at least a 2-game suspension, minimum. I mean, the NFL's issue, even if you think that they're trying to be fair to Hill, the punishment is so arbitrary that across the board.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there's no rhyme or reason sometimes. Here's what's interesting. You know, about a year or so ago, actually maybe it's 2 years now, they hired D.C. Police Chief Kathleen Lanier.
Right.
To be the head of security.
Right.
And that included changing the image of the NFL when it came to domestic violence.
Right.
Here's an interview she did shortly after she was hired. These are sports people. Their expertise is clearly football. They've reached out to people with the expertise in matters of domestic violence, sexual assault. They are committed to seeing that the league is not seen as one that condones, supports, or hides domestic violence. Here's a key thing. They are committed to making sure that it is not the way it is. They are committed to making sure that is not the way it is, but not the way it's perceived. I mean, basically, she said that, you know, the NFL had an image problem. Here's another quote. The perception is for me to change. That's our job right now, to make the perception change. but perception is very hard to change.
Right.
Well, this is a step back for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, this shows that they really don't know what they're doing since the Ray Rice incident. They've been reeling ever since in terms of dealing with this issue, and they still don't know what they're doing with it.
Not only do they not know what they're doing with it, but I think they continue to botch it every time, and they hide under the, well, we couldn't force somebody to testify. We couldn't make somebody, do something that the criminal justice system won't allow. We can't get certain records that others seemingly find a way to get, meaning like with the Kareem Hunt thing. They couldn't get the video
right
from the hotel. The same thing with the Ray Rice. TMZ got it.
And she's a police chief.
Yes.
She was a former police chief.
You're going to tell me the reason why she was hired.
She didn't know how to get that video.
Yes.
In the Kareem Hunt case, that's unbelievable.
Right? And they hide behind this cloak and dagger system of, well, we can't get this and we can't do that. And at the time, at the present time, how about we not say, look, we can't come up with any evidence? Because that makes it look bad, and I guarantee you, right? I mean, if you're Harvey Levin or whoever runs TMZ, because I always see him, they are pounding flesh to try and get whatever they can get because they know how huge that is, and they know it's probably, and I don't know if it actually is beyond the audio tape. But here's the other thing. You mentioned this, okay? The quote was, "You need to be terrified of me too, comma, B-I-T-C-H, because yes. I'm not sure if we're supposed to be saying that on the radio, especially at 10 o'clock in the morning, okay? But for context, that's what was said on the audio tape. Tom Brady got suspended 4 games for apparently deflating footballs footballs.
That was all about getting the Patriots.
Fine.
That was all about revenge by the league against Belichick.
Fine. Just to use a corollary example, this was not brought up by me, so I want to be fair to, I guess it's part of Bleacher Reports. Ravens cornerback Jimmy Smith was suspended for 4 games after the NFL found evidence of, quote, threatening and emotionally abusive behaviors towards his former girlfriend. Quote, threatening and emotionally abusive behaviors, end quote, towards his former girlfriend. I ask you, Tom Lavera, 10:09 and 30 seconds, what would, quote, you need to be terrified of me too, B-I-T-C-H,
yeah,
signify or mean to you?
That's
is that the same thing?
That's a threat. Like, I don't know what evidence that they presented to make Hill's case in their meeting with the NFL, but to walk out of that with based on what we know, without any kind of discipline, it just makes the NFL look bad. It makes the NFL look terrible. And again, what kind of signal does this send to a big part of the NFL fan base, whether people want to admit it or not, are women.
Yes.
A huge part.
But Tommy, let me jump in. How does the NFL continue to look this bad? How does a sport that has never-ending resources, you said, and you're absolutely right, you just read the quotes, and you're totally right, they hired Kathleen Ayer to fix this problem, and I understand you can't fix every problem. I got it. Do you think they've really made any progress here over the last couple of years since the Ray Rice? Maybe a little bit of progress.
This shows they're all over the place. They're all
yes.
over the place. There's
well,
no consistency. Yeah, there's no consistency at this point. And, you know, look, the DA came out and basically said when he investigated this, and if you read between the lines, what the DA said is they didn't have enough evidence to prove either Hill or his girlfriend.
Right.
Broke the arm of their
right.
son.
Nobody knows exactly
nobody
who
knows,
did it and what
but
happened.
Somebody did it.
Right.
And so so the DA basically said somebody broke his arm. We don't know which one.
Yeah. Here's a novel concept, Tommy. How about throwing them both in jail?
Well, you can't do that, Chris. You can't You can't throw people in jail without proof, Chris. I mean,
somebody broke his arm.
Yeah, I know that. Maybe it was you.
Kid.
What if it was you?
Let's throw you in jail. I wouldn't be in that situation.
Let's throw you in jail for breaking his arm.
No, but that's my problem. I wouldn't be in that situation.
No, my point is you can't throw them in jail.
Tommy, it's the same thing with the Reuben Foster thing. They all say the woman's a liar, she's a cheater, she's a this, she's a fixer, she's a scammer. But he continuously puts himself in these situations. And I'm not saying it's the same thing. I'm saying somebody broke the kid's arm. Yeah. Right? It's indisputable that it was one of the two, but we can't figure out who because nobody witnessed and the kid is 3 years old, right?
Right.
But somebody broke the kid's arm.
So you can't put everybody, both his parents in jail.
Put them both in jail until one of them tells the truth.
Chris, you can't do that. Come on, that's absurd.
It's not that absurd.
It is absurd.
So we're just going to let everybody walk free?
Well, Chris... The notion that jailing innocent people to get to the guilty one goes against the very nature of our justice system.
But nobody will tell the truth, and we apparently don't have the ability or the wherewithal or the time or the power on both the NFL side and the district attorney side to figure out what actually happened. And I understand
it should be hard. To put people in jail, Chris. It should be a hard thing. You should have to present evidence
to lock
people up.
Yeah, I know I'm irrational, Tommy. I guess I just get frustrated that a poor kid is in a really tough situation that's not going to get any better.
Yes, he is. Now, as far as the NFL has made it clear they don't need law enforcement to make their own judgment. In other words, the NFL has made judgments on Ezekiel Elliott.
Yes.
And other athletes... With no criminal charges against them. The NFL made it clear that they have their own investigative unit.
Yes.
And rightly so, because they're a private company. They're a private, in other words, like your employer can bounce you in a second if they suspect of you engaging in potentially criminal behavior that would embarrass them. I mean, this is not a constitutional issue. This is not a court of law where you're innocent until proven guilty. The NFL has the right to decide who works for them and who doesn't.
Right.
That's what it is. You're not putting somebody in jail. You're saying that you don't have the privilege of working for us anymore. So I'm all in favor of the NFL dispensing its own justice as it sees fit.
But you can't do what I got frustrated with.
That's the criminal justice.
I know I'm being irrational. I just get so frustrated with this stuff. And obviously, again, it's one thing to do it to another adult, man to a woman. I'm not suggesting. I literally have no tolerance at all in any way, shape, or form, especially when it comes to child abuse. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We'll knock down your calls. Sorin Petro from Kansas City, he's been all over this story. He'll join us after the bottom of the hour along with Tom Lavero. I'm Chris Russell on The Fan. All right, we welcome you back. Good to have you with us. 10:19 here on a Saturday morning on The Fan. 800-636-1067. Tom Lavero is here. I'm Chris Russell, and we'll get out to you on the phones. We'll get a Kansas City perspective on this Tyreek Hill situation in just about 12 minutes or so. But just quickly recapping, the NFL is not going to suspend him, is not going to fine him. They say for now, the evidence available, they couldn't crack the code. Nobody can determine, including the DA's office, Tom, who broke the kid. Tyreek Hill's son, who broke his arm, he's saying it was his fiance or his ex-fiance. The ex-fiance on the audio recording accused him. The NFL and the DA's office said they cannot determine who did what. And even though you have an audio recording of him verbally making an abusive threat, that's not good enough for the NFL.
For any kind of discipline.
Right.
Not
for any
fine?
Kind of discipline. Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. For now.
Right.
I mean, maybe something happens down the road. So the question here is, The question here is, do you believe that the NFL is doing right and doing justice by this situation by allowing a guy who, again, somebody broke the kid's arm, and at the very minimum, he made a audibly conclusive verbal threat to his ex-fiance, right, the mother of his child.
He was a suspect in child abuse. Yes. A suspect.
Yes.
In a child abuse case.
Yes.
And you have him on tape threatening a woman.
Yes. And now he's potentially going to get a contract extension. Let's get out to Ronnie in D.C. on the Fan. Hey, Ronnie, how are you?
Chris, how you doing today? Thanks for
Ronnie.
Having me on.
Thanks for coming.
Hi, Ronnie.
Hey, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm driving to a wedding right now, actually, on a Saturday morning, so I'm kind of out of sorts. But, I, you know, just listening to y'all, you bring up a good point. I'm a former prosecutor. It's not a constitutional issue, court of law, this, that, and the other, but certainly the NFL could fire or terminate whomever might embarrass the NFL. And I will say this. I think that something is more sinister at play. I think that when Ezekiel Elliott got suspended and Jerry Jones made a big, big fuss about it and said, oh, we, you know, and Roger Goodell perceived that Jerry Jones tried to get him fired, I think the NFL, Roger Goodell kind of took a look and said, I really like my job. I like making, you know, $40 million or whatever it is that he makes a year. And also, you look at it this way. Tyreek Hill is an exciting player. The NFL knows mm-hmm. that people watch the game to see exciting players. If Tyreek Hill is a practice squad guy or the 53rd man on the roster, there is not a team in the NFL that signs him, picks him up, or anything like that. And I just think that there's it's a business decision, if you will. It really is, and it's unfortunate. I think the audio is pretty clear that it makes it clear enough to where Tyreek Hill could have been suspended. But, the NFL chose to follow the money trail.
Right. Appreciate it, your phone's spot, all weird and
I
stuff.
I think you're spot on, though.
Yeah.
I think the fallout from the Ezekiel Elliott thing from Jerry Jones, I think, has forced a back off on this domestic violence policy by the NFL.
Well, not only that, Tommy, because they did get a lot of criticism from not only Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, but from all around the NFL landscape.
That criticism doesn't count. The only criticism that counts to Roger Goodell
is Jerry Jones.
Are the owners.
Okay, so in this particular case, they've already, the Chiefs, one of the most exciting team that was a whisker away from the Super Bowl last year, right? And certainly one of the most exciting offense. We know offense sells, right? They've already lost Kareem Hunt. Now, that wasn't the NFL's decision. They cut Kareem Hunt because Kareem Hunt lied to them. Yes. So they made the decision to move on from him. Then the NFL got involved in Kareem Hunt's discipline now that he's with the Cleveland Browns, right? But they would be looking at one of their most popular teams with a rabid fan base, one of their most exciting offenses, and one of their most exciting players being gone for 4 games, 6 games, 2 games, 8 games, whatever it might be, in addition to what happened with Kareem Hunt. Could that be playing a factor at all here in the NFL's mind of, we can't be too prohibitive to the Kansas City Chiefs, a pillar of our league?
Yeah, especially with Pat Mahomes, the league's biggest star on their stage next year. Look,
so you buy that? You buy some of that?
If I was a fan of the Chiefs, now I'm different. Okay, most fans I don't think the same way. If a guy on my team did this, I wouldn't root for him anymore. I'd kiss them off. I'd be done.
You mean as a fan or as a teammate? As a teammate, you're going to welcome this guy
as
back,
a fan.
Right? Okay.
As a fan, I mean, I don't know how you can compartmentalize your ethics.
Yeah.
I know everybody wants sports to be a diversion, and it should be. And, you know, they don't want to judge players' characters, but this is not an ethics decision. This is not just a character decision. This is basic right and wrong. And I just don't see how you can root for a team that would allow this kind of player on your roster. I really don't. I'll be honest with you. I know nobody's going to like this. If you're a Redskins fan, I don't know how you root for a team that has Adrian Peterson on them. I mean, based on, you go back and you read the stuff that he did to his son.
Yeah.
I don't see how you can root for them. There's lots of other reasons why I don't understand how you could root for him, but that would be a deal breaker for me.
Yeah.
But I think I'm in the minority.
Yeah. You know, because the criminal justice system played out the way it did. I think people have moved past it, not to mention the fact that it was 3 years ago or whatever
that.
It is. And some people do believe what Adrian Peterson
He just gave an interview with Bleacher Report a few months ago where he said that he still physically disciplines his son.
Yeah. Let's go to Brian in Fairfax on the Fan. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Doing good. So, Chris and Tom, this is just another reason that's just piling on of why I'm just, I don't watch the NFL anymore. I'll listen to you guys talk about it. I'll listen to the station. That's intriguing. But, you know, all the things that you guys kind of mentioned, legislating the fun out of it, the political stuff, all of this. And the NFL has really put themselves in a bind, in my opinion, by putting themselves in the position of being judge and jury, as opposed to just saying the legal system and putting the heat on the legal system. And they have a no-win situation. Either they're too tough or they're too lenient. They can't make up laws that can be determined by a just system. That's why we have a legal system. And if a DA can't figure it out, why are we putting the onus on the NFL?
Because they're an employer. They're an employer that can decide you can work for them or not. They're not deciding who goes to jail.
Well, I agree
with all of
that. You don't have
the constitutional right to be a football player.
Right.
I agree with all of that. But my point is this, is that they have over and over and over again proven that they can't make the right decision at the right time.
That's fair. That's valid.
They're incapable of doing it.
That's fair.
They're incapable of doing it. It just makes it unwatchable because you've got all this drama. Look, I'm a dad of girls and travel soccer. I've got enough freaking drama in my life with all the parents and all that stuff. I want to watch something on TV without all this drama associated with it.
I get it. I sympathize with you.
Pulling drama into it.
I get it. I sympathize with you.
Here's what you do, Brian. Watch the Food Network. There's no drama there. There's no problems. Thank you, Brian.
Listen, all this is because of the Ray Rice case. If the NFL had initially handled the Ray Rice case the right way, all this, I don't know if there'd be that much fallout. They've never recovered from that. And again, they're trying to stay relevant to a large segment of their fan base, and that's female fans. There's some female fans that just won't care. But there's a large segment of them that are going to be turned off, that were turned off by the Ray Rice incident. This is why they hired Kathy Lanier. She was supposed to be a professional to be able to figure out how to do this. They're worse than ever now. They're all over the map.
All right. We'll get back to some of your calls coming up. Just hang tight. Be patient, Michael, Don. We'll try and get back to you guys as quickly as we can. Coming up next from Kansas City, scheduled to be joined by my pal Sorin Petro, longtime talk show host there in KC. He's been all over this Tyreek Hill situation. Could Tyreek Hill actually get a contract extension out of this mess? Don't laugh. That's a possibility. We'll talk about it with Sorin. That and more next with Tom Lavero. I'm Chris Russell. Good to have you with us. Times like these are hard to figure out, right? I mean, we talk about a lot of fun things in sports. Sometimes not so many fun things, and this certainly isn't one of them. The Tyreek Hill situation continues to kind of be confusing for everyone. Hopefully we get a couple of layers of the onion, if you will, peeled back along with Tom Lavero. I'm Chris Russell. Let's go out to Kansas City right now. And my buddy Sorin Petro is joining us in Kansas City, does an afternoon talk show, which I'm a guest on from time to time, as I was yesterday on Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. He's been all over the Tyreek Hill situation from the start. Sorin, thank you very much for your time, pal. Appreciate you. And good morning.
Hey, good morning to you. Thanks for having me. By the way, I love the bump music.
There you go. We play that after Nationals wins here on the radio station. That's like the closing song. So, you know, like, of course, we would play it the morning after Davey Martinez absolutely managed himself out of a box with a disaster in the ninth inning. But anyway, that's a whole other story. Surin, let's start here. Obviously, big news. And I think a lot of people were expecting at most just a couple of game suspension. Instead, he gets none. Tyreek Hill, I know you talked about this a lot yesterday. I know you've talked about it a lot. But your general reaction for our audience is what? What are you left with?
Well, you know, I think for me, about 6 or 7 weeks ago, I started talking with some people around the situation, and they were saying they thought 0 to 2 games, and that was kind of a first. I think everybody else had kind of been of the mindset early on. I mean, initially when the story was reported, and KCTV5 in Kansas City gave just a snippet of the 11-minute, the most sensational part of the 11 minutes of audio with Tyreek Hill on it, people were talking about, you know, his career being over, a season-long suspension, at least 6 to 8 game suspension. And as more and more information came about, and when you heard the entire 11 minutes of audio and that one thing, which is horribly wrong, telling someone you should be terrified of them, telling a woman you should be terrified mm-hmm. of them, is a bad deal. It started to become more the consensus around Kansas City, and talking it all the way through time and time again. You know how these stories end up dominating a city. Nationally, it has a 24-hour news cycle. In Kansas City, it was weeks of this conversation. And it started to become, as you started to get all the facts, as you put it, peel away the layers of the onion, the only thing that was definitive was, one, he said that to her, "You should be terrified of me, you dumb bee," on an audio tape. That's part of 11 minutes. It came at the end where there was a back and forth on a lot of discussion. Secondly, we found out that he doesn't feel like he did what he pled guilty to in 2014. That was a revelation for everybody. So that kind of changed the context with which you look at Tyreek Hill, because his background changes. And then you have the fact that his child was taken from his home, which is absolutely not a positive. They don't know who did what required the child to be taken from the home, but it was absolutely a fact that the child was taken from his home. So to me, you had the NFL put in a negative light just with his comments. Maybe they weren't as bad as they originally seemed, but they were bad. And you had a child taken from his home, so you thought something would happen. Even though I was hearing, 0 to 2, I thought more in the 2 to 4 range was where it was going to be. So I think people were certainly surprised that there were no games involved with the ultimate conclusion.
You know, we could debate this, and you're right. I think at the very minimum, look, for one thing, prison is full of guys who said they didn't do it. So the fact that he goes on and says, I didn't do what I pled guilty for before, I'm not necessarily buying that. Most people don't plead guilty to charges they didn't do. The second thing is, you're right, the bare minimum is he basically made a threat to a woman. I mean, at the bare minimum, I think you're looking at a two-game suspension under normal circumstances. But all that aside, how can the Chiefs be in this kind of business in the wake of what happened in 2012 with Jovan Belcher? How can they even be in this business?
Yeah, I mean, that is, all right, so there's a lot to unpack there. One, I love your point about prisons full of people that say they didn't do it. Absolutely. And that's one of the things that we've talked about, is that, you know, rational people can look at all the evidence, for lack of a better word, all of the things that are involved in this case, and come to the conclusion that Tyreek Hill should not only be cut from the Chiefs, but should be never allowed to play football for the Chiefs. If you came to that conclusion by looking at all the evidence that's there, you're not an irrational, hateful person. You said, listen, he pled guilty to it, so he did it. That's, I don't even want to discuss the 2014. The child was taken from his home. He was part of that right there. You could come to a conclusion that Tyreek Hill should never play football again. The other side is, if you're going to take, let's say, for lack of a better term, the benefit of the doubt of what is the positive side of things, you're right. Prison is full of people that say that they're innocent. But the legal system is also full of people that pled guilty to lesser charges. Excuse me, just because it was the easier way out. It was the fastest and best way to get on with their life. The way it's been shaped to me by people and talking with folks that were involved in everything that went on down in Oklahoma, is that this was an 18-year-old kid that really, in all likelihood, had no future in the NFL. This was not superstar wide receiver Tyreek Hill. This was a kid who was on the team at Oklahoma State, but nobody knew what his future was. He had no money for a legal defense. He was appointed a legal defendant, and they looked at the case and said, listen, it doesn't matter whether you did or didn't do it. This, and again, I'm giving you the accounts of people close or people on the side of Tyreek Hill. So take this with a grain of salt. This is not my interpretation. This is what I have been told. This is giving you all the information. They said he had a public defendant that said, look, the fastest way to get on with your life is to plead guilty to lesser charges. You will do three years of counseling, or 4 years, I can't remember which it was, of counseling. You'll be put on probation. You come through that time period and you do nothing wrong, and it will come off your record and you will move on with your life. That is the best way for you to advance your life. If he were Tyreek Hill right now with Drew Rosenhaus, if this situation happened now with Drew Rosenhaus as his representative and tens of millions of dollars sitting on the other side, you'd have seen the best lawyers in the world, and he'd have gone to court and he would have fought it. So, you know, it is, you talk about peeling away the layers of the onions. The layers never end.
Yeah.
You know, there's always something else. It's this circle that comes around. So, look, I think if somebody says he should never play football again, they absolutely have a leg to stand on. But I think also if you're to say this is a guy that came from a bad background or at least a tough background who has been in situations that have put him, and again, that he was party to being in these situations. But when you hear his account of what happened, I picked you up and I set you outside. Then you left. You came back. You had no bruises when you left. That's the contention by people around Tyreek Hill. You know, it just complicates everything. Look, the bottom line is this. It's not a positive. Yesterday was not a positive for anyone. It was simply it was closure to what is a horrible chapter, was a horrible chapter, and will be a horrible chapter. Now, to your point about Jovan Belcher, listen, the city has not forgot about it. That's one of the reasons why it's such a big deal in Kansas City. But with the exception of Clark Hunt, everybody else that has anything to do with the Kansas City Chiefs have turned over since that time. So they don't wear the Jovan Belcher situation the way the city does.
Sorin Petro with us from 810 WHB in Kansas City. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at Sorin Petro. Just in wrapping this up, because there's a million things we could ask you, but I'll ask a complex two-part question, and I'll let you go. Okay. One, will most Kansas City Chiefs fans do what I think most football fans do as soon as Tyreek Hill lights up the scoreboard from Patrick Mahomes week one, week two, whatever it might be at Arrowhead? Will they cheer and applaud and buy the Tyreek Hill jerseys? In other words, support him. And two, as part of that, the Kansas City Chiefs, I was reading, face an interesting dilemma because their best defensive player and defensive lineman, Chris Jones, is up for a contract extension, but so is Tyreek Hill, and they're only going to be able to franchise one of the two of them after this upcoming year. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, and then there is a lot. Listen, Kansas City Chiefs ticket sales have never been better. I mean, the secondary ticket market is exploding, so while all this has been going on, nobody is, well, some people may call the radio station and say, listen, I'm never going to watch a Chiefs game again as long as Tyreek Hill's out on the field. They may say that. Excuse me, I'm sorry. They may say that, but nobody's actually putting their money down in that fashion. What they're doing is going out and buying Chiefs tickets. So I expect 80 to 90% of the stadium to be positive. We heard a lot of that when they drafted Tyreek Hill. As soon as he started scoring touchdowns, people were on board. And so people can say what they want, but they're still buying Chiefs tickets. So I think it'll absolutely be a positive. And I think the Chiefs will take this as, since their stance has been to wait and see what's the ultimate conclusion, since the NFL has said he is cleared to play football, I think that they will pick up with contract negotiations and look to get a deal done with Tyreek Hill. And I think it'd be a really bad look to announce a signing next week, but I do expect them to re-sign Tyreek Hill in the future. I think he'll lose money. I don't think he'll get as much guaranteed money, and I think it'll be a really thick contract with a lot of clauses that protect the Chiefs on any of the guaranteed money they give him should there be any problems in the future. And I think the future is really – listen, if he has a relationship with a woman and he just decides it's time to break up, you know, and she decides to call the police, or anyone at a bar that sees him and says, hey, I'm going to call the police and say Tyreek Hill hit me, all of this comes back up front. So he's not just a player at risk for something he might do. He's a player at risk for something something someone else might do to drag all this back out. So that's something the Chiefs have to consider. But your point about Chris Jones is a good one. Listen, both of these players are only 3 years in. And so if Chris Jones doesn't show up, and Tyreek Hill, if he were to hold out, doesn't show up by August 6th, they lose a season of credibility. So they would only be a three-year player at the end of 4 years, and the Chiefs would only have to franchise Chris Jones at a tag of about $8 million next year instead of $17 million. So Chris Jones is making some noise, but in reality, the NFL is taking care of this. You can't really hold a team up with a holdout till you've been in 4 years. Melvin Gordon's been in 4 years with the Chargers. Jones is going into the last year of his deal, but he was a second-round pick, so it's only a four-year deal without that fifth-year option.
Right.
So the Chiefs really hold all the cards, but we'll see. I think it's a matter of, does he want to be the first guy ever to try to hold out when it'll really, really cost him? He's not Le'Veon Bell. He's not Melvin Gordon. He doesn't have that kind of ammunition behind him, and so I think he'll be there in camp by August 6th at the latest.
Some really interesting stuff coming forward for the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's just the off-the-field stuff. Then there's the on-the-field stuff with Patrick Mahomes and being a whisker away from the Super Bowl. My friend, I appreciate you coming on with us, Sorin Petro from Kansas City. Thank you. Enjoy the weekend, and I'll talk to you real soon.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, that's Sorin Petro, again, 810 WHB in Kansas City. He does what we do, obviously, for a living. An afternoon drive is really good. And obviously, a lot of opinions and a lot of analysis there. And a lot to unpack, Tommy. We'll get back to that maybe tomorrow with some time that allows, if we can squeeze it back in. Good conversation on that. Coming up next, I know you were in Baltimore earlier this week. You wrote a column about the Orioles rebuild. We'll tell you a little bit about what that says and what it means for the Orioles in the short-term and long-term future. As Chester looks and laughs sarcastic. That was a good reaction, Chester. I like that. Wait till you read Tommy's column, or you should read Tommy's column. We'll discuss that next on The Fan. All right, thanks to Sorin Petro for joining us from Kansas City. Again, we'll try and get back to the Tyreek Hill situation tomorrow if time allows. But Tommy, we wanted to switch before the top of the hour. We're going to get into the NBA and the Wizards and the Buckhand situation and Tommy Shepard being named permanent GM, although that's not official yet. We'll get into all that next hour. Don't worry, because we haven't touched on that yet. But you were in Baltimore earlier this week. The Nats were in Baltimore earlier this week. And I was just reading through your column that you wrote about the Orioles ownership situation, their next page, their future, short-term, long-term. And I don't, like, I haven't read the whole thing yet, I'll be honest with you. But reading the first several graphs, I couldn't help. I mean, every thought bubble that I had
Redskins.
Was, it's the same exact thing as the Redskins.
Redskins.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, is that, unfair,
it's Brian
LaFamina, right?
North.
Yeah. Yes.
And before July 4th of last year, I mean, day before July 4th, this is almost like a news dump. Mm-hmm. The one day you don't want to make an announcement, they announced that they had hired John Vitalin to join the Orioles as the chief operating officer of the organization. Now, this was a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Orioles have rarely had a COO, and they rarely, if ever, go out of the family to hire somebody from the outside. This is the guy they hire from Miami Heat.
Right.
They announced it on a day when no one's paying attention.
Right.
It's July 4th Eve.
Right, right.
So it's
everybody's at the beach. Yeah. Everybody's checked out. Nobody's working.
So it's almost like they're trying to hide it.
Yeah.
He starts the job in August. He's a ghost. You never see or hear from him. In April, he leaves. Just like that. They spent $100,000 on a search firm to hire a COO. They hired this guy. He lasted 9 months and then went back to work for the Heat. I mean, to me, what I pointed out in that column, that was their last best chance to change the way the Orioles do business.
Right.
I'm not even talking about the baseball side. The way they do business is just as destructive to the organization. And they brought in a guy who was going to change the way they do business. This sounds so familiar.
Yeah.
This is Brian LaFamina all over again.
Yes.
And he found out when he got here that he couldn't hire who he wanted. He couldn't do the things that he wanted to do. And he looked for a way out quickly. And you know, it's amazing. The Orioles fans are like the handful of Redskins fans who were left. They're all Kool-Aid drinkers. I mean, and people read this and were outraged that I would write this because they bought into the whole Mike Elias, you know, Astro Ball buildup.
Right.
And for me to actually throw water on that, they were just outraged. And all I mean, just at the very least, I would say to you, what does it tell you that the guy that your organization spent $100,000 to hire was gone in 9 months?
Yes. Well, I think you, but I think you can separate it in two different components, right? And we've done this for the Redskins. The Redskins are better on the field today, this year, than they were in 2013 or 2014 or 2010 or pick your year of dysfunction, right? They are better on the, they are worse behind the scenes or just as bad as they've always been behind the scenes. And I think, and I don't want to put words in your mouth or in your column, that's the point that you're, this is not necessarily about Mike Elias not being able to build a farm system and build an organization to one day be competitive again. This is about the dysfunction and the root of the problem, which is Peter Angelos, his ownership, and his family's
influence.
And that's why people are not going to understand, because they're going to say, how dare you, Tom Lavero, judge a guy who built or helped build a World Series winner in Houston and who just got here. We got one of the best. You're not pointing out that they don't have a chance to rebuild the farm system and build the baseball operation. This is organizations people don't understand are about the on-field product and then the everything else product. And that's what's rotten at the core. Is that fair?
Here's the thing. What the point is the dysfunction on the business side will always bleed over to the product on the field.
Right.
It will always bleed over to what happens on the field. And here's the thing with the Orioles, they couldn't afford to get this wrong. I mean, that they lost a ton of money last year as a baseball team. They are losing money this year, even though even if their payroll is like $40 million.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one going. They're averaging 17,000 people a game.
Ghost town.
This is an organization that is as a baseball team is financially in trouble, and you can't separate it from Masson too, the network that they own a big piece of. That's a network that's got its own problems. One thing, they're in the business of cable television. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but you've read enough stories about ESPN to know that people are cutting the cord in record numbers.
Mm-hmm.
There's less subscribers by the thousands every day. Well, if there's less subscribers for ESPN, there's less subscribers for Masson too. They're cutting the same cord. So the network is slowly sinking to trouble. They're going to have to sign a check sooner or later
to
the Nationals for over $100 million. So the network is going to be sold. I think within a year and a half, a lot of it depends on Peter Angelos. He's supposedly ill. He's got dementia. As long as Peter Angelos is breathing, nothing will happen to that team. If Peter Angelos passes away, I predict that the Suns will basically sell the team. And you'll have new ownership in Baltimore. They're not going to move. People think, oh, they're going to move to Las Vegas. They're not going to move.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going anywhere. There'll be more than enough buyers who want to keep the team in Baltimore. But right now, that team is in trouble. And let me tell you something about the Astro Ball thing. That 2017 Astros World Championship team. Mm-hmm. Excuse me for a second. Five of the guys on that team, roughly five of them were there when Elias, when the Astros management took over, the new management, five of the products were probably homegrown farm talent. The rest of them were all done through trades and free agents. Okay, so it's not like they grew all these players in the Astros organization who all came together at once.
Right,
most of those deals were done through trades and free agents. The Astros were a healthy organization. The Orioles are not. And the last thing, even if you do build with the draft, you got to hit on a lot of guys to be right.
Oh, yeah.
Probably, I'd say, for the Orioles, they'd have to hit on 80%.
Yeah. And they've got to be healthy, which
don't do that.
Yeah. and health is always, when everybody talks about hitting the reset button in whatever sport we're talking about, the NBA, you hear it all the time, baseball, you hear it all the time. Health is so much a part of this, short and long term, that you can have all these picks and all this talent. They don't always turn out to be Steven Strasburg and Bryce Harper.
No.
And even with those guys, there was health issues. But the point is they don't always turn out like those players in terms of production and talent. And then you have the injury component as well. One thing I'll end this segment with before we turn it over to the top of the hour, I was watching the end of the Orioles-Rays game last Sunday on Masson. Gary Thorne, the Rays were starting the ninth inning. They could have pitched the first perfect game with what do they call that? The starter, not the starter, but the... The opener, right? Like not a single pitcher, perfect game. And Gary Thorne was like, and nobody's rushing towards the exits here. Everybody's standing by for... There was nobody in the park to rush to the exits. There was maybe 4,000 people at that. Now, it was hot. It was hot. And it was 4-0 Rays. There was maybe 4,000 people. Maybe, Tommy, maybe 4,000 people.
This guy, John Vitalin, was their last best chance to save the team. This franchise will be sold days after Peter Angelo is laid to rest.
There you go. We'll put a finishing touch on that. We'll get into the Wizards and what a week it has been for the Washington Wizards. And then some.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.